Welcome to Demi's Diary. You are listening to season two of the podcast where we get real and unfiltered about what it actually takes to build, grow, and scale a business. I'm Demi, your business mentor who specializes in helping women create crazy success and wealth through marketing, launching, sales, and offer suite development strategies. It is my absolute passion and mission to support you on your business journey. With the launch of season two, you can expect even more pages of my diary to unfold here on this podcast for you every single week, along with the pages of other incredible CEOs in our industry. From unpopular opinions to the things that we don't talk or share enough about online, you won't want to miss out on a single episode, and I am so happy that you are here. Dear Diary,
I kind of think to myself, basically, what is it that I'm doing behind closed doors, right? Mm-hmm. But like people aren't seeing right now, but if they were, you know, creeping in and were watching my kind of day to day and how I was taking care of myself and my, you know, and how I was showing up in business, and they were just kind of creeping in at the end of a week of watching me behind closed doors, like, would they hire me?
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Demi's Diary. I am so excited that you are here today because we have such an incredible guest and a great conversation upon us. I want to introduce you guys to Samantha. She is a no BS business mentor, lead gen, and sales expert, all of the things. And I'm super excited. She has a podcast of her own. That's the Wellness Witch podcast that ranks 4% globally. She's the CEO of holisticwellness.ca, like all of the things. And I'm so excited that you're here.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. It was a great intro.
You're welcome. Okay. Well, I'd love to get everybody on the same page. We have a lot that we're diving into today. We're diving into the backstory, of course, on your journey. You have lots of tips to share with people for creating winning webinars, which is going to be amazing, especially going into 2023 with anybody that wants to launch masterclasses, webinars, set up funnels, things like that. We have lots about a lot of like what you learn from growing so quickly. I mean, you've built your business to multi six figures in a very short amount of time. So lots to get into today, but I would love for you to just take a quick second here, introduce yourself, tell us all about you, more than I even said, what you do, who you are, all the things.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for having me here. I'm excited to dive into this conversation with you today. So a little bit about me. I mean, my background initially is in holistic health. And I actually went to University of Toronto. I am from Canada. I went to University of Toronto to initially become a teacher. That's really what I wanted to do. And it was really kind of partway through my education there that I was like, I really don't want to do this. And, you know, I was like such a gym rat. And I was like always reading health magazines and books. And I'm like, I really want to do something in the health and wellness space. And so after I graduated from university, I switched gears and went on to study holistic nutrition. And then I wanted to work with clients. I wanted to work with clients one-to-one, and I had no idea what I was doing. So, you know, you graduate from nutrition school and you're like, you've got all this knowledge and all this education, and you think all these people are going to come banging down your door to come work with you. And that is not the case. And so it was very slow and quiet. And so in my head thought, well, I guess I need to take more courses. I need more knowledge. I need more fancy initials after my name. And that's what's going to bring me more clients. And that still didn't work. And so finally I came to this realization that it was like, oh, I'm not marketing myself. Oh, I'm not actually diving into the business part. Right. And so finally I started to invest in marketing, and I started to learn online marketing and sales and social media, lead generation, you know, the whole thing. And I just started to really fall in love with it. It was just kind of this one woman show trying to grow my health and wellness business. And I had to really put in the energy to learn how to grow it and learn how to scale it. And so I really considered myself just as much a marketer as I do a nutritionist. Yep. And so I learned so much, and then, you know, started to grow and scale my business. And then realized just how much I loved that part of it. I loved the marketing. I loved doing lead generation. I loved sales. And I just really fell in love with that part. And so I had a lot of colleagues reaching out to me being, you know, in the health and wellness space and saying, like, how are you getting clients? How are you growing your business? How are you doing this? And then one by one, I started to just mentor people. And then as my, you know, passion for that really started to grow and take over the nutrition side, I started to switch gears a little bit more in my business and now dedicate more of my coaching time to supporting wellness practitioners and coaches and health coaches. And I still have my nutrition business. I mean, I have my podcast, we have online programs. I just don't spend my time one-to-one coaching there anymore.
Wow. I love that. I love that. And it's so, that's such a great message for anybody that's listening too, because it is like what you do and your expertise is one entity. And then the business foundations and actually marketing it and the sales and all of these other skill sets that you have to develop as you become a business owner and a CEO, like they're different entities. So you could have the best product, the best service in the entire world. But if you don't know how to market it, you don't know how to sell it, you don't know how to actually create content and build the community and all of those things, do the lead generation, then nobody's going to know that you have the best service in the entire world.
Totally. Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
And I love that. But I do think that like a lot of entrepreneurs do get stuck in that. It's almost like sometimes I view it as a self-sabotage almost of, you know, oh, I need to learn more before I can actually market myself, before I can actually put this out here.
Yes.
I need to learn more. I need to do more. The reason people are not hiring me is because I don't have all of these things at the end of my name or you know, all letters, right? And it's so much more about like your knowledge and what you bring to the table and you as a person and getting out there and talking about that than it is.
Totally.
You know, like there are so many, my business coach, for an example, she doesn't have a business degree. She knows, right. She knows more about business than I did in my 4-year degree when I went to school, you know?
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
They don't teach you about these things. So I think that what you're doing now, and you made that like switch where you were like, okay, this was the gap that I was missing. I have the service. Now I just need to market it. And now you're also helping other women and people do that. I think that that's amazing.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, no, it's amazing. I just totally fell in love with it. And I think like just what you said, you know, so many of us get caught up in that trap of like, we need more knowledge, but it just keeps holding us back from actually doing the real work. And you need to put yourself out there and you need to take action, even if it's just very imperfect, because it's the taking action that's actually going to bring you the clarity. And we think the more education we have, which basically is just causing us to be in the mind, right? And when you're in the mind for too long, you overthink, and then that overthinking leads to paralysis. So then you end up doing nothing. So that's a cycle so many of us get in. I mean, I happened to me numerous times.
Me too. Yeah. And I see it a lot. Like you'll consume content, and then you don't do the implementation work. And then it's like, well, why am I not getting results? It's like, I'm learning all these things, but you have to actually go out there and sometimes take a little bit of that messy action. So in my business, in my world, you know, if I'm going to look at a program, obviously I'm always learning. I'm always educating myself. I'm buying courses, I'm buying programs, whatever it is, to learn about different topics. But I don't just sit there and learn about it and show up for the calls. Immediately after that call, I'm like, okay, how can I put this into action inside of my business? How can I move forward with this? And that's why, you know, you've grown fast after you learned how to do that. And that's why I've grown fast, is because it's like implement or listen to the actual information, take action on the information, learn from the action you've taken, continue to move.
Totally. 100%.
I love that. Okay. So you seem to have built a very, very successful business. And I'd love to discuss the framework you used for quick growth. I know this is something that you're really big on and super proud of. So I'd love, if you're open to it, sharing with the audience.
Yeah. I mean, there's multiple areas and all, you know, so many different pieces that make up the puzzle to this overall framework. Right. And so essentially where I really started to focus my time and attention and energy was with one-to-one clients. It was really like the quickest way to cash. It was an opportunity for me to be in my zone of genius and to work with those clients one-to-one. And because there was a lot of time output, it allowed me to really charge higher end for that, right?
Yeah.
Because it's a bigger time, energy, all of that, right? And we know your time on a one-to-one call isn't just the one-to-one call. There's there's more time than just being on a phone call with somebody, right? Mm-hmm. So that's really where I started. It was just, let me get clients through the door and work with them one-to-one. And that provided me this amazing framework of, number one, gaining experience of just being in the trenches and working with people, understanding their psychology better, understanding their pain points better, and just really learning about people. And so once you start to get more and more clients and, you know, this is growing, well, you get to this point where you're like, how is this scalable? Because now I'm just trading time for money. And, you know, sure, my pricing can keep going up, but to like what extent?
Yeah.
And then the opportunity of working with clients one-to-one, you gather all of this data that allows you to see like, what's the commonalities? You know, what are all these themes that keep showing up? The common questions that everybody is asking me, how can I, like, I've been on, you know, 4 calls today and I've basically said the same thing over and over and over again. So how can I simplify this and actually automate this so that I could leverage my time? So then that led into creating online programs and group programs so that I basically had more flexibility with my time. I could be more conscious of the one-to-one clients I was working with and dedicate also time to group coaching. So that was kind of like the initial framework was, you know, work with people one-to-one, get that data. And then from there, think about scalability and time management, leveraging time. And then group programs came along and online mm-hmm. programs and like self-paced programs. And then, you know, you build this foundation. And because you're leveraging your time, you can now start to think about other areas that you want to explore, right? So this yeah. is where I was able to expand into things like my podcast and bring on podcast sponsors,
yep.
right? And do different brand collaborations. And that wouldn't happen if I was just stuck trading time for money and just, you know, one-to-one. So that's kind of how the framework looked for me. And of course, it's going to look different for everybody. I know some people start with a podcast, right? And it's just about feeling out what works for you. But that was really the system that made sense for me. And yeah, as you start to leverage your time, it gives you this opportunity to think about other revenue streams and, you know, where you want to put yeah. your energy and how you kind of want to scale. And so that's kind of what that looked like for me.
I love that. And I can relate to that so much. I mean, I think also there's this narrative when you get into business that you quote unquote have to start with one-on-one. And I mean, like I followed that to a T, and what I was realizing for myself and my business, and I can share this with anybody that might be having a quote unquote little bit of a tougher time selling a high ticket one-on-one, especially if you are newer into business, is yes. what I noticed about my audience was it was tough for me in the beginning when I was really still trying to prove myself as who I am and what I can do for you and all. And the results, you know, I didn't have testimonials besides my own at that point, right? Where people could see that I was doing the things, but they weren't sure about how I would be able to coach them or on also doing the things. And so totally. What I was noticing was like, you know, people needed this touch point with me before committing to something that was even higher ticketed. So for my journey, it looked like, yeah, I was selling one-on-one, but at the same time, I was like, okay, well, what can I create that's low ticket to get these people in where it's not so much of a barrier where they can see what it's like totally. To work with me. And yep. so I did this thing where it was like this 5-day challenge and I sold it for $67. And from that, I sold out my one-on-one.
Yeah.
It was just that touch point that people needed sometimes. So there's that. But I do see, I did fall into the same trap where it was like, okay, my one-on-one sold out. And now I'm also answering the exact same questions on every single call. And I have no time to look at other areas of my business or do all the things that I want to do.
Totally.
And then you have to really look at like, okay, well, who do I actually want my one-on-one to be? If I want my one-on-one to be the number one, the highest investment to work with me, it should be for a client that is really at a higher level. So how can you build out the actual customer journey to make yes. sure that, you know, you create a group program, for an example, that can teach all of the foundations of business. And then when they get yep. into your one-on-one, the conversations are a lot more high level. They're a lot
of
more
course. Like,
as you grow, right? And I think that that's something also people have a lot of guilt around is, oh, if I actually create this program and I get less access to me, right? And, you know, I increase my prices. And I also like feel bad, quote unquote, that I don't want to work with somebody who's asking these kinds of questions in my one-on-one container.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you feel there's like a little bit of guilt and shame around that. But there's no reason for that. It's just like, that's just how you feel. Cause you're a good human.
Right? Of course.
But yeah, like it's also okay as you create the customer journey to say, okay, well, in my one-on-one, where it's like the closest proximity to me, where you have so much time with me, I want to be talking about these things and not these things. So maybe the ideal client has to change as you continue to grow and scale your business, which I'm sure you've also noticed.
Totally. Yes. Right? Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you evolve, right? As your business is evolving, you're evolving personally and professionally. So it's important to recognize that and honor that, right? So who I was 5 years ago isn't who I am now. And so my business and my coaching and my pricing and all of that is going to reflect that. So of course, my ideal client is going to change with that as well.
Exactly.
Yes.
I love this. Okay. So with the quick growth that you have had in your business, you know, after you've gotten to the marketing and you found all the business foundations and all those things, like what would you say one of the biggest lessons that you have learned is from this quick growth that you've had?
Oh, that's a hard one. There's lots so many. Of
Which
lessons.
One should I choose? Yeah.
Yeah. Which lesson? There's a lot. I mean, it's definitely not just one. There's just lessons of like, getting help and getting support, you know, like recognizing that if I want to continue to grow and leverage time and all of the things and serve people, like I can't do this by myself. And so just that, like letting go and being able to delegate, that's hard.
It is.
That's really hard because it's so easy to get caught up in your head and just be like, oh, I'll just do it, you know? Yeah. But yeah, so that was definitely a big one, is just like letting go. And like trusting your people that you have on your team to do it, right? Like that they're in their zone of genius and they're there to help. So that's definitely a big one for sure. And I think like another one is, you know, it's just like this recognition that it, especially in this, you know, coaching world, business space, like it always seems to be about more, right? Okay. You hit 500,000. Well, now it's 1 million. Now you hit 1 million. Now it's 2 million. Now I want 5 million. You know what I mean? It's this constant go and chasing numbers. And then you get caught up in the, like in the doing. So you have to do more, but it's like, I wanted this journey and this life because I want more time freedom, but yet I'm not taking that for myself. And I'm not recognizing like where I am now. You know what I mean? It's this recognition of like where I am now, being present with it, what I've achieved, being able to maintain and not just constantly grow, constantly go, right? Because it's more work. Let's face it. Like, you know, I can't remember what the stat is, but like, apparently, I'm going to totally butcher it, but I know that just because you hear somebody have a 7-figure business, a lot of people are like, well, they must have 7 figures in the bank.
In the bank, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it's like, you don't recognize how many expenses there are. And so there's this like small gap between what your actual take home is and what your actual like expenses are versus when you're a bit smaller, even though you may not be hitting higher numbers, your take home is probably a lot more and your expenses a lot less. Mm-hmm. So you might even be taking home more than like the 7-figure earner, you know? So it can get a little distorted, right? And so I think we just get so caught up in like the money and chasing it and having to do more and constantly growing. But it's like, you have to pay attention to like maintenance, and maintaining, because it's exhausting, number one, you know? And yeah, it's just like being conscious of like slowing down and recognizing how far you've come. And especially when you have a team too, like you have to take that into account. Like, sure, you want to grow and do all these things, but you're also asking this of your team as well and putting this on them. So it's such a, you know, I'm sure you've gone through it yourself multiple times, right? Yeah. We all do it. And I want to be clear, like, I'm not undermining the like overachieving and the growth and going for more. it's just, there's always a cost and a payoff to everything that we do. And I think that sometimes we're just moving so quickly mm-hmm. that we have a hard time as entrepreneurs to slow down and be present with where we are now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I completely agree. I mean, I think that one of my coach one time, she asked me, she's like, okay, what's your next goal? And I said, my next goal is maintaining $100,000 months. Like, I don't need to go to $200,000 months right now. I just don't. Like, I'm so happy where I am at. And I as much as I'm always doing more and like continuing to grow and develop my personal life and like my emotional intelligence, there's all these different areas. It's like, okay, like I hit my first six-figure month back in April. My goal for the rest of the year wasn't to hit a $200,000 month. It was, let me maintain six-figure months. And because the focus was maintaining, amazing. We have never dropped below a six-figure month since I had my first one, which is incredible. Huge. Right. But the fact is like, yeah, it still goes up and like some months are bigger than others and that's totally fine. But I'm not focused on how much more can I do right in this very moment to get to the next quote unquote level, right? Yeah. The next level, it's going to come, but I'm focused on maintaining. So can I even like, can I repeat what I did this year?
Totally.
That's massive, right? And can I do it with less work? And can I do it with being on less calls? And can I do it right while traveling? Yep. More? That's what I want to care about. And I think that you get to have both. I think you can do it with both. But I think for me, you know, if somebody was to ask me what is the biggest lesson that I had to learn for quick growth, I was not prepared for the quick growth that I had in my business on the back end. My systems, my operations, my SOPs, all of totally. That, I was not prepared for that. And I think that was a big setback that I didn't focus on the systems and the operations sooner. And my COO can attest to this because as soon as it took us six to seven to almost 8 months to really get things, you know, good set up. Like a working, it's a system. It's a well-oiled machine now. But that's why, you know, I have been able to scale so significantly this year is because we actually focused on the back end. And I was not ready for that last year.
Totally. Totally. And the maintenance, like it's so undermined. And then we feel like something's wrong with us because, you're focusing on maintenance and not like a bigger goal. And it's like, what's wrong? You know, what's wrong with me? You know, and you start to question and it can really be a mind fuck. it really can.
Seriously. Yeah. And I think that we get into this, like with the marketing of the space, especially it's like, you have to do better year after year after year, month after month after month. It has to be better. If not, something's wrong. That's not the case whatsoever. I mean, like if you look at quote unquote real life businesses, like, you know, some of these businesses have been operating in the negative for years.
Yeah.
Right. Some of the, like, you don't look at a business like Amazon or Sears or whoever it is, or like Sears, I say, because I know they've been operating in the red for like ever now, but like they're still here. They're still going, but that CEOs and the business owners, they know that that's not a long-term thing and they're focused on long-term growth and changes. So there's going to be dips and things like that. And I think that people are really scared to go and focus on maintenance or go and focus on something that's not necessarily an instantaneous money generating activity for them to do because, my income's going to drop. When in reality, I took a hit, you know, my business took a hit in January of this year, let's just say, right? Where I wasn't signing on as many clients and things like that because we were focused on the income. But because of that quote unquote hit, I mean, we still did a $50,000 month, but because of that income drop that we had from our typical like 60-70, I was actually able to now have the 100K month because we took that income hit, right? Yeah. So you have to look at the bigger picture in the business and not just base it on month to month or even year to year. Like you're in this for the long term.
100%.
I love that. Okay, amazing. I feel like people needed to hear that.
Yes, totally.
Because like I do see it all the time. And even it's like even clients and even people in the community, it's like goal. Oh, I hit this. They didn't even celebrate it.
I'm on like, to the next.
Let's hold up a second. Like, let's take a look at this because this is amazing. We have to anchor this in.
Totally.
Yeah. Oh my God. Okay. Okay. So one thing that you said in your application, which I loved, and I think that we really agree on, is that I'm huge on authenticity and integrity in everything that you do with our team, our offers, our marketing, everything. I love that we're on the same page with that, but I've learned that these words have a scope. So how do you practice authenticity and integrity for your specific business?
Yeah. So I kind of think to myself, basically, what is it that I'm doing behind closed doors, right? Mm-hmm. But like, people aren't seeing right now, but if they were, you know, creeping in and were watching my kind of day-to-day and how I was taking care of myself and my, you know, and how I was showing up in business, and they were just kind of creeping in at the end of a week of watching me behind closed doors, like, would they hire me? Ooh. Right. And that's what I always ask myself. And so, and the answer is yes, because and that doesn't mean it's yes all of the time, because of course there are times where shit hits the fan and you're like, wow, all these things just, you know, are a bit out of sorts. But ultimately, you know, over time and how I show up for myself in my relationship, for my clients, for my team, that's what integrity is. It's how you're showing up. It's being in communication with people. It's actually walking your talk and your walk, right? So taking care of myself, slowing down, taking the time off. And like that is all really important to me. And so I know that the more I do of that, the better I can show up in my business and for my clients. So, you know, I'm not just telling my clients like, hey, you should, you know, just take some time off and slow down a little bit. And then I'm over here working like, you know, 24/7 and busting my ass on the weekends.
Yeah.
No, I'm actually doing the same thing for myself, you know, telling clients to step away from the computer and like, you know, just kind of go clear your head. Like, you know, these are the things I do for myself. You know, there's a conversation you need to have with somebody and some communication that needs to be cleared up. Like, go and do that, because these are all things that allow you to be a better human. They just allow you, it's just releasing these layers of like, you know, guilt or shame. And it's just this baggage that we can all carry around. And it's like, let's just work through this and like clear this. So like, let's show up and be in conversation with people, communicate with our team, be honest with ourselves. And when I can do that in my everyday life, it allows me to show up really powerfully for everybody else, right? It's even like on the nutrition side. I'm not just telling people to go eat this thing or do this protocol or whatever because I think it's cool. It's because I've experimented myself. I've been in the trenches myself with that. I understand it. I can resonate, and I've gone through it. And this is how I had to show up in order to heal. So this is why I'm telling you to do it. Right. So I think that's really, to me, what authenticity and integrity means. It's really what you do behind closed doors when nobody's watching.
When the camera's not rolling, I say that all of the time. One of my sayings that I tell my clients, I tell myself, it's like, I cannot hold somebody to a higher standard than I hold for my own self and my own
100%.
Life, right? I can't expect somebody to go and invest into mentorship if I'm not also doing that myself. I can't expect my clients to go and launch this thing if I'm not going to go and launch this thing. I can't, like, you have to go first. You are that leader for them. And I think that it's massive when, and people can feel that as well. And I think that, you know, they can feel the difference between somebody who is embodied in what it is that they're talking about and what they're saying versus somebody who's just saying it, right?
Yep.
They're saying what it's like, do you actually believe this, or are you just saying this to get people to buy?
Yeah.
Do you actually do these things, or are you just saying this because it's what you think people want to hear in order to get them to buy from you?
Totally.
100%. So I love that in everything in regards to marketing and your actions and how you lead yourself and the day-to-day and your personal life, like all of those things. And I love that you mentioned, you know, if a client could see how you make decisions on the back end, if a client could see how you operate on the back end, would they hire you?
They hire me. Yeah, totally.
Right. And if the answer is no, then you got shit to clean up. You got stuff, you got stuff to work on, and let's fix it and move forward. Right. So absolutely. I love that. Okay. In regards to, and what about integrity in regards to sales? What does that mean for you?
Yeah. So I think, you know, ultimately when it comes to sales is really about coaching and leadership. So when we are stuck in our heads about, feeling slimy and icky about telling people my price and they have to buy this, or I'm going to pitch this thing. And it's like, well, number one, you're in business. Mm-hmm. So you're here to make sales.
You're here to sell. Yeah.
Like you're here to make sales. So I'll you have to, yeah, exactly. You have to accept that. Right. I always tell my clients, like, if you were to go walk into, I don't know, if you go to walk into a store today, right? Let's go. You walk into a Sport Check and you go to buy something and you go back the next day. Are they going to stop you at the door and be like, sorry, you were here yesterday, so you can't shop again? Yeah. No, right? So it's the same thing. It's there's no like limit to it. You're here to make sales. Doesn't mean you have to show up every single day and pitch and make an offer. But I think what we forget is, like, it's actually not about sales. It's about showing up and coaching somebody and being in conversation with somebody and just showing up as the leader. So I know, especially like with sales calls, so many people just get hung up on being on a sales call and they like get worked up and they don't even, you know, they're mumbling.
Yeah.
They're just so anxious about it. And then it comes to saying the price and the whole thing, and they make this whole story out of it. And it's just like, can you imagine just showing up for a friend and just having a conversation with them? And that's really all sales is. It's just about understanding people, where they're at, where they're stuck. And then if it's the right fit, now you can make an offer about how you can work together and move forward. That's all it really is. And if you get to a point where it's not the right fit, well, don't make the offer. That's where sales, that's the fine line.
Love
so
that.
Right? So don't make the offer if it's not the right fit. And this is why we just have to get really good at being in communication with people and being in conversation. Like, I'm always curious to learn about people and understand their hang-ups and what it is that's holding them back, because I'm here to coach them. And so I'm going to show up and have a powerful conversation with them and learn about them and see if we're the right match. And if we are, I'm going to genuinely make an offer.
Yeah. I love that.
That's really what it's about.
I love that. Sales really just is, like you said, it's conversations, and to see if you guys can be a match to work together. And I think it's important too, because a lot of people on the outside looking in will see all the sales that we're making, but they don't see the sales on the back end where that integrity comes in that we don't make. Right? Like, how many times a week do I actually tell somebody they're not a fit for this program, and I think that they're better suited here, and here's why?
Totally.
So many times. I mean, last week I can count on like 5 different people inquired about one of my mini mind program, which is really helping you build foundations inside of business. Right. So right. Getting you to these 5 to 10K months, whatever. So I had people inquiring about the mini mind. It's like, oh, my friend joined this, and like, I want to join it too. And I'm like, I could sell this. This would be an absolutely easy sell. Your friend is already in my program. Amazing. But based on what you're telling me, you don't need this program. You already have XYZ figured out. You need the next level. And just because your friend or whoever it is, and I think this is also something we see in the industry a lot, you know, follow the leader.
You know, of course.
Vibes, which is totally fine. But at the end of the day, it's like, I'm not going to sell you into a program that I know is not going to benefit you. And sure, you're not a match for my mini mind, I'm going to get you into my mastermind. It's a big jump in investment. Absolutely. And if you're not going to say yes to that and you're not quote unquote ready for that, that's fine. But that's where I see you. And I'm not going to sell you into a cheaper like investment program just because that would be an easy sell.
100%. Okay.
So yeah, I love that. Absolutely. That's something that we share in common. I think that it's big because this is where a lot of integrity and scarcity and people are fearful of investing because they have been sold programs in the past that they were not pre-qualified for and were not a good fit for. And therefore they have like a little bit of resentment or fear around investing in the next thing. How many times do we hear that?
All the time. Yep. 100%. It's very common. It's very common. So, I mean, and I understand why that hesitation is there for sure. And I mean, there's other layers to it too. It's like a lot of people are just joining course from course to course because they are, and you know, and they're not taking action. And right. Or it's like, I enrolled in so-and-so course and you know, it just wasn't for me. And it's like, actually, why don't we reframe this and look at the lessons that you learn from it? Because I have definitely been in numerous programs where, you know, where I thought I was going to get X and I didn't.
Yeah.
But I still got some other really amazing value out of it, right? And every single time, it's never been a waste of my investment and it's never been a waste of my time, because there's always something that's come out of it that has helped me to move forward. So I think that's what's really important is, like, let's just reframe, you know, when we're like, oh, this person just wasn't for me. And it's like, well, let's see, like, we always put it on the other person. And it's like, well, how are you showing up? How were you coachable?
Yeah. We love to play that blame game. Hey,
yes. It's so easy to do that.
It is. But I like, when you're saying that, I look back on all my investments. Yeah. Not every investment that I've made has been like the most amazing life-changing thing ever.
For sure.
You know, like, I've been in a part of masterminds before that I basically was coaching myself through the entire friggin' thing, you know, right. But at the end of the day, it's like, okay, out of that mastermind, I actually made really great friendships. I actually learned this about myself. I actually saw this change my business. Now I actually know what I don't want for my mastermind.
Totally.
So, like, how many things did I learn just because I quote unquote didn't get the mentor, whoever it was, maybe wasn't a match for me, doesn't mean I didn't get a million and more things out of that investment. And even looking at it today, I look back, one of the women that was in the mastermind with me actually just signed up for my one-on-one coaching for
amazing
2023. And it's like, oh, if I had never met her in this program before, that wouldn't, like, maybe it's that would happen, but would that have happened with anyone with so much ease because she already knew who I was? Probably not. Right. Yeah. So, like, what are the really good things that come out of every single investment? That's what I look at. So I love that you brought that up.
Yeah, absolutely.
So good. Awesome. Okay. I'd love to pick your brain on this. I think this would be really great for the audience as well. But any tips around, you know, when you do feel icky or you are worrying about being icky in sales conversations, what are the tips that you have to share about that?
Yeah. I mean, basically, you know, I was saying earlier, like, think about it as though you're having a conversation with a friend.
Yeah.
Like, really, that is it. Just think about how you would engage with a friend. If a friend is coming to you with problems and struggles, what would you do? What would you ask? You know, what are the things that you would say? So that's number one. And number two is, like, we often make it about ourselves and it's not about ourselves. It's about the other person. Right. So when you're in your head over, am I asking the right questions? And, oh my God, I got to sell and make this, you know, make this, say this number and all, and we get all, you know, all the things, right?
Yeah.
You're making it about yourself. And then that actually pulls you totally out of the present. Ooh. And it really doesn't allow you to have a more easeful conversation. So it's really about making it about them. That's really important. So you got to check your ego to the side.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, there's so many other things I could probably say. Well, just speaking of being present, that's important, is, like, distractions. So minimizing your distractions, like, you're there to have a really powerful conversation with somebody. Even if they don't sign up, you want them to leave that conversation feeling inspired and empowered, and you having a lasting impression, because maybe it's a no right now, but it might not be a no in 3 months from now or 6 months from now. So that's really important. And then lastly, I would say, if you are getting on calls because you're like, oh my God, I got to hit this number, this is my quota, this is the revenue I got to hit, I got to hit. And, like, if you go in with that energy, then you're going in with the wrong energy. So yeah, you have to let go of the outcome. If you are just so attached to the outcome, that's going to show up in that conversation and that person's going to feel it. So you really have to let go of that.
All of that was just so good. So good. Yeah. I mean, I've seen this a lot of times with clients, is they project a lot of their money beliefs too onto potential clients.
Yes. Oh my
God, nobody would pay me this much, or like this, like, they, whatever beliefs they have, like, heal your money beliefs too. Would, like, if you work on your money mindset, that really helps in regards to your sales mindset, of course. And then the other part of it that I always say to clients too, if they feel bad about selling, is like, okay, tell me about your big vision, the impact that you want to make. You want to change that client's life. Mm-hmm. How are you going to do that if you don't sell? The only way you serve is if you sell. So look at, change your perspective around selling, as selling is actually serving, because without selling, you can't make that impact that you want to make.
Totally. 100%.
I love it. So good. Yeah. Okay. So I've been holding my breath to talk to you about this very last topic. We love a webinar. We love them. I grew my business on masterclasses. Like
amazing.
Free masterclasses. I used to launch one a month. Like every launch was a masterclass launch, like webinars. I have a webinar set up on a funnel right now in my business. Like I'm obsessed with them. And I think they are the highest converting type of freebie or funnel or even low cost offer you could ever do. So I'm so excited that you brought this topic to the table, but I would love to have this as a discussion. But you mentioned 7 must-know tips for creating a winning webinar that brings in like that consistent stream of prospects and money. So you have to spill the beans on all of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, let's see if we'll make it through all 7. So number one, which I feel like is often the most, you know, unsexy thing, but it's just knowing who you're serving, knowing your ideal client, right? That's really important because you're going to want to obviously structure your content to serve the right people. So I think if you just jump into it real quick without really knowing who it is you're serving and like think about that one person who really needs to know this information, that's going to allow you to really create a compelling webinar for sure. Yeah. Number two is like, think about your visuals because people are very visual. And so I often think like, you know, there are people who are very auditory, but there are people who are very visual. So if all you're doing is the auditory, it sometimes can't land for people because they need to see a visual, especially when you're breaking down concepts and information. Like, you have to make it easy for people to understand those concepts. So which ties into that is don't overcomplicate.
Yeah.
Right. Because we often teach from that space of expertise and then we can share information that goes way over people's heads and it's not going to land for people. So the visuals can be really helpful and just really simplifying, breaking things down for people. Cause I know for myself, I'm a visual learner and I need to sometimes, if I see it, it sits better with me.
Yeah.
Number three is to be engaging. So don't fall flat, you know, like you got to be excited. Yes. You have to show up and be energized. Like, what do you need to do before you show up live? You know, put on music, dance around, like you have to be engaging. That's really important. I mean, because that's the beauty of a webinar is that people get to show up and see you. They get to hear your voice, see your mannerisms, and it builds such a more impactful connection. And so you have to be, you know, be in the zone, like be excited. You're there to teach and you're there to share and you're there to connect. So if you're like, you know, hiding and you're too scared to come out of your shell. Yeah.
How's everybody doing?
Totally.
Like, oh my God. Yeah.
Like, yeah. And I get like, if you're doing this for the very first time, of course it's uncomfortable, but like the more you practice it and just like, you know, the information, it's going to allow you just to be more at ease and be more authentic. Right.
Yeah, totally.
Number four, storytelling. Mm. So storytelling is really important because again, we often come from this area of like expertise. Mm. So we can say things that really go over people's heads. But if you weave in storytelling, whether it's client stories and testimonials and your stories, people remember stories. That's why we love movies so much. It's because it's a story, right? And it sticks with us when we can think about somebody's story and what they've been through and, you know, how they overcame XYZ. So storytelling is really impactful. So if you can weave that in, that will definitely help a lot. In terms of pitching. So, you know, weaving in your products and your services and doing it like in an authentic way, right? So I know oftentimes like traditionally with a webinar, you're doing your webinar and then at the very end, you're kind of pitching, but leading up to that, weaving in like a testimonial or, you know, you're teaching them X topic. How, you know, do you have a story that you could share there about how this helped you in business and, or how this helped this client who went through this program?
Yeah.
Like you're just planting those seeds. That's really what you're doing is planting seeds. Number six is the follow-up, which a lot of people miss the boat on this. So they do their webinar, and then it's like, okay, done, that's it. And you just brought in all these leads and had this great, you know, gave this great experience to people, and then you don't follow up. So the follow-up is really, really important. And whether you're sending out the replay, you know, you can ask for feedback, the follow-up in terms of opening registration to your program and selling, like whatever it is, but there should be follow-up and some connection post webinar for sure.
Yeah.
And then lastly is you are sharing your webinar from your zone of genius. And so I think what happens is, I've seen this so many times with so many of our students in our mentorship program, is like, they feel like, for example, you know, because I coach a lot of health professionals, you know, I'm just going to use something like infertility, for example, you know, okay, so they're teaching a masterclass or a webinar on supporting fertility. And so they feel like they have to share all of these complicated concepts, mm-hmm. and like the language they use has to be, you know, very, just like, again, complicated, so that it looks like, you know, they really know their stuff. They're the expert.
Yeah.
And then they often will put, they just like fill the webinar with too much information, and they fill it with just basically what ends up happening is you're doing all this research just to learn this one piece of thing, just to show up on a webinar to teach it for 2 minutes. And it's like, that's not your zone of genius.
Yeah.
So what is the topic you're teaching on? Is it fertility? Okay, great. What are the areas of fertility that you know inside and out that you don't have to go and research? It just comes naturally, that you could talk somebody through it. That's the stuff that you want to be sharing, because it has to come from a place of like knowledge. And yeah, if you're showing up in your zone of genius, that's where the easefulness comes from, right? So if you're complicating it all and you're just trying to like research all this stuff just to put in there, yeah, it gets overwhelming. And again, it's not going to land for people. So always teach in your zone of genius. I always tell people, like, if I told you had to go live, like right now, you have no time to prep, the camera's going on, what is the thing that you would talk about?
Yeah.
Like what just comes so naturally to you, that's your zone of genius. Like be in the zone of genius. So,
I love that.
Yeah. I think those are seven.
That was seven. That was so good. So good. I agree though. Like overwhelming in your masterclass, people, overwhelmed buyers are not going to buy, right? They're going to go to Google. They're going to try to be finding out whatever it was they just learned about, or they're not, or they get like throw their hands up and they're like, this is over my head. I can't, like the wall goes up. Right.
Totally. So,
huge, huge, huge tip. And then like one of the things I also tell my clients, when it's like, you want to do a masterclass launch, you want to create a webinar, what is the gap that needs to be filled? What's the first thing you would want somebody to know before they go into whatever program it is that you're launching? So
absolutely.
Is there a clear gap where it's like, you got the first piece of the puzzle in the masterclass, but now you need the whole puzzle to get the picture. What is it that you're going to strategically show them that they're missing out on if they don't go into your program as well? So
for sure.
But all of those tips were so juicy. Guys, I hope, rewind, take note. Like if you're going to launch with a masterclass, like, oh my God, those were so good. And I agree with every single one of them. The follow-up, huge, right? The huge energy. If you guys have ever been to a masterclass of mine, I always start it with music. Like it works, right?
Yeah.
If you're coming in, like make sure you have your, like if you have people around you, if you're at the office or at a library, you have your AirPods in or something, because you'll be coming in and it'll be like the most crazy ass music playing, but it sets the vibe. So I love everything that you just said, and thank you so, so, so much for sharing all of that with us.
Thank you.
Tell us where people can find you, what you have going on right now, all of the things.
Yeah, absolutely. So I do love hanging out on Instagram. So I do have two accounts there on the nutrition side. If you want to learn all about metabolic health, thyroid health, you can connect with me there at Holistic Wellness Witch. And then I have the business side, the business account, which is Samantha_Gladish. And so all things entrepreneurial, business, you know, social media, marketing, all the stuff you can find there. So that's typically where I hang out. And for anyone that's interested in coaching support, launching, growing their business, our Align and Lead Business Mentorship is where I spend my time coaching clients. So you can head on over to SamanthaGladish.com for more information there.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, thank you so much for being here. This was such an incredible conversation. So many juicy little nuggets in here for people to take away with and go and implement. If you can't see me, I'm holding up like a speakerphone. Like, please go implement this. Don't just listen.
Totally.
Don't just consume. Go implement. If you have questions, reach out to Samantha on her Instagram. But I'll make sure all the details and everything are linked down below. But once again, just thank you so much for being here, for sharing your knowledge with everybody. This has just been an incredible conversation.
Thank you. My pleasure. I really appreciate being here.
Okay. Amazing. Well, guys, we'll see you in the next episode of Demi's Diary. And I hope you guys are all having a fabulous, fabulous start to your week or whenever it is that you are tuning in. Have a great day, guys. Bye.
Love, Demi.